thank you, Lord God, for today. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here and to put our thoughts, to put our mind on the cross and on the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we just thank you, Lord, for the reality of us being able to be here thousands of years later and to know that you died for us. Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's amazing. There were many people that were crucified by the Romans, and yet we have no such detailed account of any other person in human history and their crucifixion than Jesus. Now, that right there ought to tell you something, that this man was important. So whether you actually believe in Jesus and believe, that he is, in fact, the Savior of the world or not, that is your decision to make. But you have to realize the magnitude of the reality that we actually have eyewitness accounts that recorded these documents so that we can actually, thousands of years later, read and know the story of how Jesus died. And we're going to be talking more about that on Resurrection Sunday in just a few days from now. You know, there are often different occasions in our lives that cause us as individuals and families and friends to get together and to put aside our differences. So you'll see in a family where there might be tension and conflict, if someone gets married, everyone's going to come together to that wedding. In most situations, no matter what kind of strife is in the family, everyone's going to come to that wedding and put aside their differences. And no matter what kind of differences and arguments that there have been, if someone in the past, in the family passes away, a family's going to come together and put aside their differences and come together in certain moments. And you know, weekends like this are just like that. They're a moment in the history of the church where believers can come together and we can put aside our disagreements and we can put aside our arguments and we can put aside all the different things that people in the church disagree about, because we all agree about one thing, and that's the cross. See, if you know anything about church history, we've done a pretty good job at getting in fights with one another. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? That people who genuinely love Jesus and who have given their lives to Jesus can still get angry? Have you noticed that? You can still get into disagreements with people, and you can still call people nasty names, and you can still do that. And throughout church history, we have been really good at arguing with one another in the body of Christ. And so we have many different churches and denominations and kinds of gatherings taking place, all focusing on Jesus. And I just think that it's beautiful that we can take this weekend and we can put aside our different views on ecclesiology and eschatology and pneumatology and soteriology and Christology and any other ology. And we can put all that aside, and we can be reminded there's one thing, ladies and gentlemen, one thing that we can all agree on, and that is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and me. And so our different views, really, they kind of seem to lose their meaning. Now, they're important. I'm not saying they're not important. But when we remind ourselves of the cross, when you come to a weekend like this with Easter weekend, we all just need an opportunity to just give ourselves a bit of a shaking and remind ourselves that it's all about Jesus. And it's all about the cross. And it's all about Easter. It's not even all about Christmas. The only reason that we have Christmas is because he came here for Easter. This is why he came, was to die for you and me. Every child of God shares this in common. We realize that it should have been us pierced on that tree. If you have your Bibles with you, I ask you to open to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 26. And I want to spend some time before we take communion together at the end of the service. I want us to take some time looking at a man named Judas. Now, Judas is one of those characters in the Bible who needs very little introduction. Right? You think about Peter and you can think denier. You think about Thomas and you can think doubter. You think about Judas and you think betrayer. You think about Bartholomew and you're like, bar who now? Right? Judas doesn't need a whole lot of introduction. Out of all the 12 disciples, we tend to remember Judas very well. But before you rush to putting a label on Judas, we all know that Judas is the betrayer. He's the one who betrayed Jesus. But before we get there, let's provide some context. And let me remind you that Jesus actually chose Judas. That he actually extended an invitation to Judas to follow him. Think about this. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, and he still asked him to follow him. Why? Because even though God knows your future mistakes, he'll never give up on giving you opportunities. He'll never give up on you. So Jesus picks Judas, invites him to follow. Second amazing thing is that Judas actually says yes. Here's someone who is actually willing to leave their business, leave their family, and travel and to dedicate 3 years of his life with Jesus. So before we label Judas as a betrayer, let's appreciate that he gave up 3 years of his life to follow after the Lord. And so I want to show you where Judas went wrong. Matthew chapter 26, and we'll start reading in verse 14. Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. So this isn't the first indicator that Judas was on the wrong track. If you'll remember, there was an earlier episode where a lady named Mary came in to where Jesus and some others were eating, and she broke open a bottle of expensive perfume, and she dipped her hair in that perfume, and she washed Jesus' feet. Do you remember that? Here's this lady named Mary. She breaks this bottle of perfume. How valuable is the bottle of perfume? Well, it was about a year's salary. One bottle of perfume, year's salary. Now, whether you make what you consider to be a little bit of money or a lot of money, would you all agree if it takes you a year to make it, it's a lot of money? So this is an expensive thing. And Judas sees Mary break open this bottle of pure nard and anoint Jesus' feet with her hair. And Judas gets upset. And Judas says, "We could have sold that perfume and given it to the poor." But what we learn through John's gospel is he says that he wasn't actually worried about the poor. He was worried about himself because, you see, Judas was the treasurer of the Jesus Christ of Nazareth Evangelical Association. Judas was the one who counted the offerings after service. So what is the moral of the story? Don't ever appoint a man named Judas to count the offerings. We're just going to write that into our policy binder at the church. If your name's Judas, we love you, and I'm sorry, but I couldn't resist. So Judas says, "What a waste. We could have sold this perfume and we could have given it to the poor," but he really wanted it for himself. Now that's an indicator that you're in a bad place. Judas was in a bad place, not because he was a bad egg. See, I don't believe in bad eggs, and I don't think God does either. Judas was not a bad person. He was a person. Anyone in here a person? Judas was not a bad person. See, we begin with the end in mind, and we tend to judge people because we say, well, we know what Judas ended up doing. Judas was not a bad person. He was a person who let his heart, the affection of his heart, get captivated by something other than Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, the only affection on your heart should be Jesus. And Judas let something else get in the way. So this is his question, verse 15. "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" What will you give me? Selfishness. Selfish question. What will you give me? Notice who is on Judas's mind is Judas. He wants to know, how can I benefit? How can I end up on top? And how can I see to it that my needs are met? This is selfishness. Anyone ever encountered it before? People are like, "Oh yeah, you know, I know somebody who's been selfish before." At the root of every sin is selfishness. Every single sin. It is impossible for you to sin and be selfless at the same time. Impossible. You cannot sin and be trying to help others at the same time. Every sin boils down to selfishness. What will you give me? To Judas, Jesus is an afterthought, and he's a means to an end. And what I want us to focus on this morning is something that Jesus said, not here, but earlier in the Gospel of Matthew. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. I wish Judas had remembered these words. He says this, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." I wish Judas had remembered these words. "I will give you rest," is Jesus' promise. Judas's problem is much like our problem, is we search for our rest in other places. We try to find rest on a beach in Miami. We try to find rest in a relationship. We try to find rest in job security. We try to find rest. See, we're looking for our answers, the answers to what you need in life. We're looking in the wrong places, and so is Judas. Judas was looking at money. If I could just have more money, if I could just have a little bit more, I would just feel a little bit more secure. I'd just feel a little bit more comfortable. I could just get that one more thing that I want. Judas was trying to find his rest in money. And if you haven't found out yet, let me just give you a spoiler alert. You won't find it with money. You won't find peace with money. Judas was looking for it in the wrong places, and so do you and me. Judas was asking what they could give him, but what he should have been asking is what Jesus could give him. What will you give me? What will you give me? Can you imagine the vastly different story that we would be reading if Judas had turned to Jesus and said, "What will you give me? Jesus, what will you give me? If I stay faithful to you, what will you give me?" You know what Jesus' answer is? "I will give you rest." Does that sound good to anybody in here? "I will give you rest." What kind of rest, Jesus? What kind of rest are we talking about here? Is this just kind of like a momentary rest? Is this just kind of a physical rest where I'm not going to feel worn out? Is this a rest where I'm going to finally feel like I've been able to get enough sleep one night? What kind of rest is this going to feel like? Jesus says, "I'm going to give you rest for your soul." There is not anything better than that. Rest for your soul. Now, this is interesting. Why does Jesus offer rest for the human soul? Why? Because what happens to your human soul because of sin is you experience this thing called guilt. Anyone else in the room? Yeah, I know somebody who's experienced guilt before. Yeah, I know, I understand. Why do you and I need rest? Because of sin. And what does sin do to you? It makes you feel bad. It makes you not like yourself. It makes you think God doesn't love you. And so Jesus, already prophetically speaking about what grace would do at the cross, he said, what will grace do? Grace will give you rest for your soul. What does that mean? You don't have to feel guilty anymore. Is that good news? You don't, because the grace of God will forgive you of every single thing you've ever done. I will give you rest for your souls. This is the best promise you'll ever find in Scripture. I will give you rest for your soul. Isaiah 53 says that the punishment, the chastisement that Jesus bore on the cross actually bought our peace. It bought it, which means we ought to have peace because Jesus died on the cross. We ought to have peace in our lives. I will give you rest. Sin robs you of sleep. It makes you feel difficult. Makes it difficult for you to enjoy even the happy moments of your life. Here's the good news. Jesus died for you. And he will give you rest. He literally purchased your guilt. Do you know that? He purchased it. He bought it. And when he was nailed to the cross, he had your sins, nailed to that cross too. Do you know that even Judas could be free? Even after he betrayed Jesus? Have you ever thought about this? Even after he sold out for 30 pieces of silver, he sold out the person that he was claiming to be a follower of. Do you know that there is even enough grace in heaven for Judas? But Judas became so overwhelmed with what? Guilt. that he didn't want to keep on living. Judas decided how to end his life, but God wants to give you rest for your souls. He wants to give you peace. And just the moment that you think that your worst deed or your worst thought is too much for God, you've belittled the cross. The moment that you think that you've done something so bad that God can't forgive you, then you don't understand Easter. And you don't understand the cross. Because Jesus' blood is stronger than your rebellion. Isn't that good news? That where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Anyone in here ever abounded in sin before? You don't have to raise your hands, but you can if you want to. Abound? Anyone want to raise two hands for that? Where sin did abound. Come on, where you got just so rebellious and against God, God says, I can still grace you. I can still forgive you. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, Jesus says, I will give you rest. So there's two kinds of people that I want to talk to this morning, and you're in one of these two groups. You're either here this morning, and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, and you've never, for the very first time, experienced confessing Jesus as your Lord, and you've never had that peace come into your heart of knowing that Jesus died for you. I'm talking to you this morning. If that's you, and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, today's a day for you to do that. The other group of people that I'm talking to is people who have given their life to Jesus. You've already surrendered your life, but you could handle a little bit more peace. Does that cover everybody in the room this morning? Anyone stand for a little bit more peace in your life? I'm not talking about your circumstances. I'm not talking about like less busy schedule and less chaos around you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, could anyone in here stand for more peace in your soul? Come on, show of hands. Get your hands in the air. You'd like some more peace? Oh, well, you've come to the right place. Because Jesus died for us folks at Niagara Worship Center. And he died for the folks that don't come here. He died for the folks all over the world. So if you're here today, and I want to talk to you, if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you've never surrendered your life to him, and you'd like a taste of peace, I want you to just raise your hand in the air just as high as you can, because we want to pray with you today. If you've never given your life to the Lord before, and you'd like us to pray with you, come on, it's a Good Friday. It's a great day to give your life to the Lord. We would just love to pray with you. I'll ask the worship team to come on up. If you're here in this place and you've never prayed before and you'd like to surrender your life to Jesus, surrender's a great thing. You know, people are scared of surrender. Surrender's a great thing. When you surrender to the right master, surrender's a terrifying thing when you surrender to someone who's evil. But our God's good, so you can give your life to him. All right, well, here we go. We got a family in the house who's all surrendered their life to Jesus, which means we're a sold-out church this morning. Fully surrendered. So here we go. I'll ask this question again, and you already answered. Anyone in this place, you've already given your life to Jesus, but you could stand for some more peace in your life. Stand to your feet. If that's you, come on. And I just want to pray with you. Come to me, Jesus says. Come to me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Lord Jesus, today, on this Good Friday of 2018, we lay hold of that promise that you've given us. We grab it with our faith. That, Lord, you said that if we came to you, you would give us rest for your souls, that you would give us a burden, but it wouldn't be a heavy burden. You said that you would give us your burden, and your burden is light. Your yoke is easy. We don't have to live bogged down and stressed out and filled with anxiety and filled with frustration and filled with depression, that we can actually have peace in our lives. And God, I'm praying today that you would give us rest. I pray for every person in this building, from a newborn baby to the oldest person in this room, Lord God, who's lived the longest. I thank you, Father, that your rest is for them. And I ask, Father, that you would just help them come to you in this moment right now. Every person in this room, just focus your heart, focus your mind on Jesus. Come to him, come to him, come to him. This is about you and God time. Come to him, approach him. And let him give you peace right now in your soul. Let him give you this feeling of freedom, of knowing that he's not angry at you, that God's not angry at you. He's not frustrated with you. He's not disappointed in you. God loves you. And he sent his son to die for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. My sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. God, I thank you for washing every person in this room, that we are white, that we are righteous, that we are holy, not because of anything that we have done, but because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Ask that the ushers begin to come forward, and we're going to partake in Lord's Supper together as a family this morning. And just a reminder that if you have not given your life to the Lord, that this is something for believers. And so if you're just not there yet this morning, and we're so glad that you're here, if that's you, but if you have not surrendered your life to the Lord, we ask that you would just let this pass you by. Parents, you're here with kids. We ask that you be wise about if you let your kids take this, if you know that they've given their life to you, if you know where their heart is at, we leave that with you as parents, moms, and dads to know what to do. So let's just be in his presence as the emblems are distributed. Just stay standing and set your mind on the cross. has heard from us, to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed. For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no form of majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. For he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This is talking about Jesus, Isaiah 53. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. How is that possible? He is Jesus. He is the Son of God. Because he bore your grief. And he carried your sorrows and the things that weigh heavy on your hearts. And he was as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. For surely, this is a thing of certainty. This is not speculation this morning. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. God, I thank you for the weight of this moment. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that we can just look to the cross. I thank you that you were acquainted with our griefs and our sorrows, not just so that you could relate to us, but so that you could take them away. So, God, I'm asking that your peace would fill this room right now in this place. Lord God, peace, fill every heart. Fill every heart. Fill every heart. God, I'm asking that you bring healing into our hearts this morning. Bring healing into our hearts this morning, into troubled minds, minds that are filled with guilt and minds that are filled with fear, minds that are overwhelmed with life. God, I pray that they would experience your peace right now. So this was the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples. When he took the bread, he broke it and began to distribute it around to the disciples. And he told them, this bread is my body, which is broken for you. Speaking of the cross, his body was broken for you. Let's thank him and partake of it right now together. After supper, he took the cup, he took the wine, and he began to distribute it. And he gave such beautiful words. He said that this cup represents a new covenant in my blood. Now, if you're not familiar with the old covenant, if you haven't spent too much time in the Old Testament, let me just tell you something. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. Jesus looked at a people who knew that their covenant was a blessing because God didn't need to give it to them, but it was hard. You had to follow commandments, and you had to fulfill your end of the deal in order to get God's blessing. And you know what the new covenant is? It doesn't matter if you hold up your end of the deal. God will. If you will acknowledge that he died for you, if you will give your life to Jesus Christ, he'll do his part. He'll save you. He'll heal you. He'll give you peace. He'll give you a new mind. He'll give you hope. And so let's remember the sacrifice of Jesus and partake of the cup together right now. God, in this moment, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that there is no distance far enough that we could run from you that would ever be too far for you to come and reach us. God, I thank you for your hand upon our lives, Lord, and that whatever it is that we are walking back out to in our world, whatever is waiting for us when we get home and get back to work next week or even this weekend, God, I pray, Lord, that whatever circumstances surround us, Lord, that we would be changed because inside of us, we have been reminded that you have given us peace. You've given us joy. You've given us kindness. You've given us faithfulness. God, you've given us all the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I thank you for your hand upon us, upon our families, upon our community, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that your hand would continue to reach into this wonderful city, into the Niagara region, Lord God, that you would continue to let your message be known that Easter is not a time for family get-togethers and for celebrations and for chocolate, but this is a weekend to remember the most significant date in human history. That Jesus, you came to this earth and you died a death that you didn't deserve because you loved us. And I'm asking you today, and I'm asking, Father, that this world would hear the message of the cross and the message of the resurrection and the message of Easter so that Jesus could be glorified. I pray this today in Jesus' name. Well, God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you here Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Amen.